Hello and welcome to In Conversation With, a podcast from The Lancet Psychiatry. It's March 2024 and I'm Sophia Davis, Senior Editor at Lancet Psych. And this month I am joined by Gina Park and Wanhee Lee from Seoul National University in South Korea, whose new research on the effects of increasing heat on emergency hospital admissions is published in our issue this month. So to kick us off, could you both introduce yourselves briefly for our listeners to hear?
Yes. Hello, everyone. I am Gina Park, and I am currently a doctorate degree student at Seoul National University in South Korea. My major research question is why the health impact of climate change is disproportionate. So I'm focusing on identifying who is vulnerable to heat or cold exposure.
Hello, I'm Wanhee Lee. Now I'm working at Busan National University in South Korea as an assistant professor. I'm an environmental epidemiologist and a data scientist, and I'm studying the health impact to environment exposures based on cutting-edge methodologies and a large biomedical data. Thanks.
Great. That's great to hear your backgrounds. So you're both from a kind of different background to what we would often have on in the Lancet Psychiatry, which is why we thought it would be really interesting to focus on your paper, so bring a different topic to our audience. So your paper, as I said, it's about the extreme adverse health effects of increasing ambient temperature for people with mental disorders and developmental disabilities in particular. And you looked at hospital admissions to do that. So we were really interested in how your paper relates to climate change and mental health. Could you tell us why it's important to be thinking about the effects of heat on people's mental health and well-being, and what's already known in this area, and perhaps also what's missing?
Previous studies showed a positive association between heat and hospital admission or premature death. For example, a case crossover study in the United States from Norris-Delma showed that higher warm season temperatures were associated with an increased risk of emergency department visits. For substance use disorders, anxiety stress-related disorders, mood disorders, schizophrenia, and even self-harm. Heat and psychiatric conditions can have a bidirectional association. First, the nature of the psychiatric condition can be a risk factor for heat-related morbidity and mortality. Second, heat can be a risk factor for the exacerbation of the psychiatric condition. Some proposed hypotheses are related to psychiatric medications and sleep deprivation. Some medications can affect how the body regulates temperature. Heat, especially nighttime heat, may cause sleep deprivation, which has harmful effects on mental condition. So, some previous studies pointed out that specific mental health-related symptoms are, to some degree, temperature-sensitive and reported increased mortality or morbidity rates as temperature increases.
Yeah, and when we constructed our study, we were surprised at the fact that there are only one or two previous epidemiological studies, of course, to our knowledge, addressing and evaluating the detrimental impact of hot temperatures on health in health with a disability. Intuitively, especially as Gina explained already, we thought that the health impact of a hot temperature might be higher in people with a disability compared to people without disability in relation to poorer socioeconomic status or health conditions. Nevertheless, the relevant studies are scarce, and I think the limited number of studies might be owing to the limited availability of health data. So, at least in Korea, in my opinion, people with disabilities are still an invisible population in climate change and health studies. So for me, it was difficult to see the related studies in academic conference. Yeah, but this is the main reason why we started this study, to bring up the subject.
Yes, and that's also why we were interested, because we had a look around and saw that there aren't many studies with a lot of data on this topic. And just to clarify, when you're talking about disabilities, what we're looking at here is, it's because you're looking at this health insurance data of people classified as disabilities, but as we'll go on to talk about, what you're talking about is people with diagnosed mental disorders, intellectual disabilities, and autism, just to clarify for our listeners. So in your study, yeah, you've used the, you mentioned that there's not a lot of good data around, and so you've used the South Korean health insurance database to be able to see records for people who've been registered as having an intellectual disability, autism, or a mental disability, which included a few specific disorders, but not all of them. So it included schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and depressive disorder, for example. So how did you choose on looking at this particular group of people, and what's the relevance of that for the broader field of understanding climate change and health overall?
Right. Yeah. China has studied the mental health of the people with disabilities, and I also examined environmental justice and the socially disadvantaged classes, including persons with a disability, when I did a postdoc in the United States. Especially, I studied Medicare in the United States, but I felt that the information on the mental disability is also highly limited in the Medicare data. So after coming back to Korea, I performed the environmental studies using the Korean health insurance data, and I recognized that the disability types and the severity of variables are in the national health insurance system data. So yeah, thus I discussed them with Gina, and with those, our interests are perfectly aligned.
Yeah, so in a way, because the insurance database has these divisions of people into different groupings, it's what allowed you to get a bit more detailed within the big category of disability. I see.
Yes. So we can classify many types of disabilities thanks to the environmental health claim data set. So as Hwani mentioned, I had an awareness of health inequality issues, and they were linked to environmental justice. So I do not know much about the welfare status of people with disabilities in other countries. However, at least in Korea, as Hwani also mentioned, sometimes they are not considered as a vulnerable group, especially in the context of environmental health. So among people with disabilities, especially people with mental disorders like in developmental disorder or mental disability groups, are even more neglected since some of them have difficulties expressing their needs. Thus, the motivation that makes us study this population was to make a voice that a climate change adaptation action plan should consider this population with different and customized approaches. Through this study, I wanted to make this invisible and excluded population into the main discourse of climate change adaptation. And I think our research represents quantitative proof, and it can be evidence that we need targeted environmental health policies focusing on this specific population.
Yeah, interesting. So then if we come to your paper, it's a bit different to a lot of what's published in Lancet Psychiatry in some ways. And I did have a chat with the editor of Lancet Planetary Health, Alistair, to help me assess it. So for our listeners, the study looks at the warm season in South Korea, which is June through September, and it goes 2006 through to 2021. And it then uses data on the daily mean temperature collected in a 9-kilometer spatial grid, as well as data on hospital admissions, comparing those groups that we've mentioned with controls. So for a Lancet Psychiatry, a retrospective population study of hospital admissions is not so new, but it's this idea of fluctuating temperature and the spatial grid. This was all different. So we also invited environmental scientists in the peer review process to help us analyze the paper. So then your analysis shows the relationship between heat and the likelihood of being admitted to the hospital emergency department for people in those groups. What were your findings for these different groups?
So first of all, I appreciate your compact summary of our study. We found the risk of emergency department admission attributable to heat was higher among people with intellectual and mental disabilities than people without disabilities. And among them, those living in rural areas and with low incomes, and admission for genitourinary disease particularly showed higher risk than their counterparts or other causes. I think the strength of this paper is that we targeted the population that had not been studied earlier because of limited data availability. We included all registered people with three mental disorders and or disabilities living in South Korea. And disability is often only considered in binary terms in the previous studies, including like Lancet psychiatric paper or any other epidemiological papers. And in our study, on the contrary, we stratified beyond disabled versus non-disabled by classifying each disability type separately and even considering their socio-demographic characteristics.
I was just going to say it was interesting, the division to rural and urban as well on top of that.
In addition to Gina's explanations, we attempted to use several state-of-the-science methodologies in the data sets to improve our study quality. First, we collected the satellite-based exposure, as you mentioned, to make our exposure data nationwide with a high spatial resolution. Second, we used the nationwide data to reduce the potential biases from selected samples. And lastly, we adopted a case crossover design to eliminate the potential time invariant or time insensitive confounders such as diet or health behaviors. Therefore, along with the novelty of our result, we can say that our results are scientifically elaborate, I guess.
Yeah, so the main finding was this increased risk in especially the groups with intellectual disabilities and mental disorders, not so much in the autism group though, right? That wasn't really found to have an increased risk there. So I know that you also broke the results down. You already mentioned the increased admissions, especially for genitourinary reasons. And you broke the results down into causes of hospital admission, which I found really interesting, this sub-analysis. And these were categorized into various health conditions, physical health conditions, as well as reasons related to mental health, which shows how it's always important to consider physical and mental health all together. Could you tell us some of your main findings related to these causes for admission so we can understand how is heat impacting people?
Yes, in our research, risk of emergency department admission were higher in admissions by genitourinary disease and mental disorders, as I mentioned just right before, in intellectual and mental disability groups. In a more detailed considering of causes, kidney failure and dementia showed positive associations among people with intellectual disability, and heart failure and schizophrenia showed positive associations for people with mental disability. These findings indicate that various physical health conditions such as renal disease or cardiovascular disease have a compound impact on heat-related health exacerbations with mental health conditions. So in my opinion, underlying physical disease should be considered when we discuss heat impact on people with intellectual disability, autism, and mental disability group.
Yeah, and you already discussed right at the start some of those mechanisms that you're thinking about to do with that, like the effect on body temperature regulation and the disturbance to sleep, and those can have just systemic, you know, various widespread effects on someone. So what do these findings mean for the field overall?
People with mental disabilities have been understudied and in the environmental health field. In particular, I think our result can suggest a deterioration, the synergism between disabilities and the mental disorders in climate change health. And it also means we need to examine the new and more sophisticated vulnerable groups who are more vulnerable to climate change.
And I noticed that you often use the word disabilities, that thinking about people with disabilities related to climate change. And it's not a term we would use so much within the psychiatry field. We'd more talk about mental disorders or mental health conditions or things like that. So it's an interesting language difference. And I wonder if this is maybe related to the field that you're working in, is that the term that's just more generally mental disability rather than mental disorder or something?
We use both, but for us, the people with the mental disabilities looks more familiar for us, but I think the meaning are not very different, I guess.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if it's with this lens that you're talking about from more of an environmental science perspective of thinking about different groups of people with different disadvantages or not, and it seems as though the approach is to look at someone who has a disability, who has some, which is another way of saying some kind of disadvantage, right? Is that the way that disability tends to be used in your fields?
I think the disability has quite wide definition. Like each country has their own definition for people with disabilities or type of like disadvantage in their health. So at least in Korea, we just followed, as I mentioned in my paper, like I just followed the Korean registration system. So in the Korean registration system, I think the government quite strictly defined people with disabilities. And before about this registration system, in Korea, actually disability and disorder is translated into the same word in Korean. So I think that's why, yes, it is really same as, actually, even though I studied nursing for my bachelor degree, when I translated mental disorder, we just use disability and disorder altogether because the Korean word is same. So I think it is a little bit different in the language system. And for the registration system is...
It was interesting in your paper that, because we asked you to define, because I wondered if our audience would think, why is this word disability being used so much? So that's why we asked you in the paper to put very clearly in the appendix exactly what was being referred to. So we have in the paper there, you know, it's the ICD code, blah, 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 for each disability that's being talked about. It's then mapped onto a specific diagnostic category. So it's interesting to know that in Korean, disorder and disability is the same word. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think that's why we use that word like mixed together or just without regarding the difference, because it is the same to us.
Yeah, it is. Because of the registry system.
Yeah. What does this mean? What's next for you then in this line of research? I can hear how I can already hear when you did your very first introductions how this is just part of a bigger thread of research for you. What will you be moving on to after this?
Oh, I think this study is the first and most basic step to assess heat impact on people with intellectual disability, autism, and mental disability groups. And when I consider urban city and income level together in the analysis, as also you pointed out that urban and rural research was really interesting, I found the protective effect of living in urban area. So low income groups showed higher risk than middle or high income groups. However, when I considered income level with where they are living, low income people who are residing in urban areas showed lower risk than people living in rural areas.
The low income in the urban area showed lower risk.
Lower risk than low income in rural areas. So even though I didn't report this result in my paper, but I think it is my further step. So my hypothesis is that social service or medical service in urban areas would act as a protective factor against heat exposure in low income group with like mental disability or disorders. So I wanted to figure out this association more in detail. So it will be the next step of my research. And ultimately, I want to expand this research topic in global level. So any researchers who are interested in our study is welcome to join us always.
Yeah, I also think that the people with the disabilities are still under evaluated. Thus, we need to advertise and discuss more about it to establish more effective the action plans for people with disabilities. Also, I'd like to expand our result to the digital healthcare for the disabilities, especially now I'm planning research incorporating real-time mental and the cardiovascular healthcare for people with disabilities based on the EKG mood change and the exploratory modeling. So yeah, I believe that this approach can contribute to more timely and more predictive healthcare against the disabilities and the climate change. Concurrently,
that's great, and that's always the ultimate goal, right? To try to affect the type of healthcare that can be offered and the most smart way to offer that. And I find it really interesting, this term that you've been using. Is it environmental justice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Environmental justice.
Environmental justice, because it's, you know, this is an unfamiliar topic for our paper, so I'm just getting grips with, but it's a really interesting just concept to think about, that you know, the very different effects that climate change has on different groups of people, but between countries, and then in different social groups, and then as this paper looks at, in different with different disabilities or mental disorders.
Exposure to environmental hazard and the health impact of the environmental exposures are disproportionate. This is the main concern or the main subject of the environmental justice. So yeah, we would like to expand our research topic to the psychiatric field in yeah. relation to the environmental justice.
Yeah, it's great. And that's why I wanted to do the podcast on it, to bring the fields together. I know within psychiatry, there's a growing interest in the effects of climate change on mental health, but you know, the expertise that you bring to the topic, people within psychiatry don't necessarily have. The environmental science, it's such a specific, it's its whole discipline. So it's really wonderful to bring the fields together and get them talking to each other and see how that they can work together. Well, is there anything else that you would like to say about the paper or about the bigger field?
I really appreciate for giving a chance to share our experience and research topic, and because we really want to expand this field. And as you also mentioned, I think meeting two disciplines like planetary health field and psychiatry field is really essential for our survival for our next generation, maybe. So
yeah,
I think it is really good chance to make a chance for collaboration between two fields and expand our disciplines.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, I also want to mention that the climate change is highly affect the mental health, and many previous studies have identified the associations. So I think this topic should be more examined than studied for many other researchers from many countries. So yeah, this is our ultimate dream. So yeah, I think it can be the very good beginning for this, our ultimate goal. Yeah, I really
the
wish.
Goal, yeah, the big goal, bring planetary health and mental health together to work out what's going on. I see a conference on the horizon. Yeah, good. Okay, well, we'll leave it there then. So thank you so much for telling us more about your work. And to our listeners, you can read Gina and Wanhee's research online now at thelancet.com. So thank you very much to both of you. And thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of In Conversation With. And you can subscribe to In Conversation With Lancet Psychiatry wherever you're listening.